Thank you, Jose. Am I on? Is the mic working? It might seem a bit early to some of you, but I'm kind of a hopeless Christmas person. I don't think you can start too early or stop too late. I would be happy preaching this sermon in July. I'm serious. At home, we try to get our decorations up by what? Thanksgiving. And I every year it may be February and Cindy's taking the stuff down. And I'm going, but Cindy, it's not even June, you know. I really like this time of year. I think it's an unusual opportunity for us. Just to give you a kind of a likeness real quick, there used to be a security woman where I first had my office when I moved to Cincinnati. She always dressed very stately. I just remember this particular day she came by my office. She always would go by and check all the offices. And she came by my office and she was wearing a very, very stately, like woolen, bright red suit. And she came in and we were talking, and she was somebody we could talk about Jesus every day. And I learned that about her right away. But she had a little back here on the back of her shoulder, I think it was a ladybug or something. And it wasn't a real one, but it was a pin, like a lapel pin that she had put in back there. Well, I thought it was a mistake, you know, and so I brought it up to her, and she goes, "You know what? To me, it's on my shoulder. It reminds me of the Holy Spirit. It always taps me on the shoulder." And she said, "It was also a suggestion of our pastor because it's misplaced. People will ask you about it, and it gives you this opportunity to talk about God when you explain why you put it there." And I think that's one of the special things about this time of year. It seems like you can go ahead and talk about God with less repercussions this time of year. It's like acceptable. So I'm going to call this sermon Good Tidings of Great Joy. And I want to talk about, I'm not certain it's the night before Christmas, but it could be. I know one of these stories is the night before Christmas. The other one might have been Christmas night. I'm not certain. But I'm going to start out of Luke 2, Luke, the second chapter. I'm going to start reading with the fourth verse. It says, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And the other story I want to read, I'm going to open to 3rd Nephi. And this one, I'm pretty sure, was the night before Christmas. Third Nephi, first chapter. I'm going to start reading with the 9th verse, and I'm going to read through 24. Now it came to pass that there was a day set apart by the unbelievers that all those who believed on those traditions should be put to death, except the sign should come to pass, which had been given by Samuel the prophet. Now it came to pass that when Nephi, the son of Nephi, saw this wickedness of the people, of his people, his heart was exceeding sorrowful. And it came to pass that he went out and bowed himself down upon the earth and cried mightily unto his God, in behalf of his people, yea, those which were about to be destroyed because of their faith in the tradition of their fathers. And it came to pass that he cried mightily unto the Lord all that day. And behold, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, lift up your head and be of good cheer. For behold, the time is at hand. And on this night shall the sign be given. And on the morrow come I into the world, to shew unto the world that I will fulfill all that which I have caused to be spoken by the mouth of the holy prophets. Behold, I come unto my own, to fulfill all things which I have made known unto the children of men from the foundation of the world, and to do the will both of the Father and of the Son of the Father because of me, and of the Son because of my flesh. And behold, the time is at hand, and this night shall the sign be given. And it came to pass that the words which came unto Nephi were fulfilled according as they had been spoken. And behold, at the going down of the sun, there was no darkness. And the people began to be astonished because there was no darkness when the night came. And there were many which had not believed the words of the prophets that fell to the earth and became as if they were dead. For they knew that the great plan of destruction which they had laid for those who believed in the words of the prophets had been frustrated. For the sign which had been given was already at hand, and they began to know that the Son of God must shortly come. Yea, in fine, all the people upon the face of the whole earth, from the west to the east, both in the land north and in the land south, were so exceedingly astonished that they fell to the earth, for they knew that the prophets had testified of these things for many years, and that the sign which had been given was already at hand, and they began to fear because of their iniquity and their unbelief. And it came to pass that there was no darkness in all that night, but it was as light as though it was midday. And it came to pass that the sun did rise in the morning again, according to the proper order, and they knew that it was the day that the Lord should be born, because of the sign which had been given. And it had come to pass, yea, all things, every whit, according to the words of the prophets. And it came to pass also that the new star did appear according to the word. And it came to pass that from this time forth It came to pass that a new star did appear according to the word. So these things, it says, according to the word, these things were prophesied of in advance. I believe Samuel the prophet prophesied about this night and exactly what that sign was like 4 years prior to this actually coming to the pass. I'm going to jump back now to Luke 2. But I want to remind us in all of this that the prophets had foretold these things. And the believers were living in expectation of them. The unbelievers had come to the point that they were impatient and ready to find any opportunity to do away with these pesky believers. But that plan was foiled because the sign was given that night. Going back to Luke, the second chapter, I'm going to take this a little slower, starting with the 8th verse. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And I think about this, what it would have been like to be in that field that night, to see this actually happen. And the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And that's one of the reasons I think I have such joy this time of year too, is that this story is for all people at all times. It happened, over 2,000 years ago. And yet it's just as appropriate, it's just as important to us today. It's still good tidings of great joy. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this was the earthly beginning of what we had our hearts centered on this morning. It may seem somewhat sad sometimes when we think of this little newborn baby was actually going to be this sacrifice, this atonement for us. And it's completely personal. It's completely personal. I think it's easier to think of it in terms of the world. Yep, the world needed a Savior. But we all have to humble ourselves to the point that we realize I needed a Savior. This plan of redemption was for me, and the need for it was my fault. But as the prophets had foretold, it was all beginning to come to pass. The law of Moses to be fulfilled, to bring that great and last sacrifice and literally fulfill that need for sacrifice anymore. No one else could fill those shoes. No one else could be that lamb. No one else could be that sacrifice for us. And he was innocent. But he bore my guilt. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And from the time I was a kid, I knew the scripture, but I think I was actually older when I realized manger isn't a different type of crib. Manger, A manger is a horse trough, a cattle trough. It's a trough for the sheep to feed them. You'll find hay in it. You'll find feed in it. And that's where Jesus was laid in swaddling clothes. A very, very humble beginning. But at the announcement of this angel, it said that the glory of the Lord shone round about them. 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. And when I speak of this Savior and I think about, yeah, this was all prophesied, I would remind you of the 9th chapter of Isaiah. Let me reread this verse. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And that was as it was spoken in Isaiah, the 9th chapter. He was called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. I don't think it was, you know, I was also older when I began to actually wake up to my own need for a counselor. Someone who literally does know me better than I know myself. Someone like Jesus Christ. And he is wonderful. And he is my mighty God. And so this night we glorify him. And I keep that in your heart, how when the angel came, that the glory of the Lord, the glory of God, shone round about them. Because we're going to end up back there at the end of this sermon. I think of a sister that came here from Kenya. And she lived in Texas with her nephew. I was privileged to get to go and visit her in her home several times. But I was very, very privileged to have her. She was on phone church regularly and was just a pillar, a strength. She was different. And I don't, you know, I wonder about these things in my heart. So many times I heard her pray. She might say the opening prayer, the closing prayer. She might pray on a prayer service. And it was just so full. How does a person come to understand and speak those things like she did? It was amazing to me. But all of us kind of come from different cultures, different backgrounds. We think about things differently. And when I see Prince of Peace, it means something to me. But consider what peace meant to Nina. To Nina Osaka. I saw a really horrible movie. Hard to recommend. It was rough. But it is a true story. And it's about a man named Sam Childers. He was a biker, and I don't think you would understand if I said drug salesman. He was a drug dealer. He was in all kinds of trouble. He was a horrible person. In the beginning of the movie, he's just getting out of prison, coming home to his wife and his little daughter. And he was not the kind of person I ever wanted to be around. I would easily be offended at all times, every word out of his mouth. But he let his wife rope him into going to a revival with her. And at that revival, he decided to leave that life behind. And he met a missionary from Africa that told him about what was happening to all these kids over in South Sudan and down into Uganda. And to make that clear, the LRA literally was going from village to village. The Muslims were murdering all the Christians. They would come in and they would literally wipe out all the adults. And they would capture the children that they could, and they would have some of them kill their parents. I'm speaking of horrible things, ugly things. And they took them captive and put a gun in their hand and used them to raid the next village. And this went on and on and on. It was literally the environment of South Sudan and northern Uganda. Well, those are two adjoining countries to Kenya, where Nina Osaka was from. So many times during her stay with us, members of her family were killed. I remember her trying to tell the story one time. I believe he was an 18-year-old nephew that they found him, and he was slaughtered horribly. They found him buried. They'd done unspeakable things to him, tortured him before they killed him. What did Prince of Peace mean to her? It's different. In an environment where you didn't really, you were always surrounded by these things, Prince of Peace means something different. It's different. It's like living it instead of just believing it. Bred within her a different way of thinking about who her God was. I had another friend when I used to work in Kansas City. His name was Aliyemika Shalaja, spelled just like he would normally spell Aliyemika Shalaja. But he was the same way, so serious about God. He didn't grow up in a church, but his father had taken them to every Christian church in the area. Whenever they would come through, his father would take him there. And that's how he came to know Jesus. That's where he came from. And he was very different too, because he grew up in a different place where you did not take life for granted, ever. You were always right on the brink. You were always completely dependent upon Christ. So the reason I bring up these things, it sounds like I'm just bringing up awful stuff, but it's lest we forget, lest we remain asleep to just how important this night before Christmas, call it, that announcement, the words of this angel, just how important those things were. And that we understand it more deeply, more thoroughly, that we wear it when we walk through every day of life. Prince of Peace. So, yeah, I told that because I don't want any of you to take this life that is really pretty easy for us. Don't let that make you take things for granted. I want to go to Moroni, the 7th chapter. I'm going to read verse 3. I'm going to jump around a little bit. I'm going to start with, this is Moroni, the 7th chapter. I'm going to read verse 3. Wherefore, I would speak unto you that are of the church, that are the peaceful followers of Christ, and that have obtained a sufficient hope by which ye can enter into the rest of the Lord from this time henceforth until ye shall rest with him in heaven. So he's speaking directly to us. Let me turn on over to verse 10. I'm going to read through 16. Wherefore, all things which are good cometh of God, and that which is evil cometh of the devil. For the devil is an enemy unto God, and fighteth against him continually, and inviteth and enticeth to sin, and to do that which is evil continually. But behold, that which is of God inviteth and enticeth to do good continually. Wherefore, everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good and to love God and to serve him is inspired of God. Wherefore, take heed, my beloved brethren, that ye do not judge that which is evil to be of God, or that which is good and of God to be of the devil. For behold, my brethren, it is given unto you to judge, that ye may know good from evil. And the way to judge is as plain, that ye may know with a perfect knowledge as the daylight is from the dark night. For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man that he may know good from evil. Wherefore, I shew unto you the way to judge. For everything which inviteth to do good and to persuade to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and gift of Christ. Wherefore ye may know with a perfect knowledge it is of God. But whatsoever thing persuadeth men to do evil and believe not in Christ and deny him and serve not God, then ye may know with a perfect knowledge it is of the devil. For after this manner doth the devil work, for he persuadeth no man to do good, no, not one. Neither doth the angels, neither do they which subject themselves unto him. And Joel brought up this morning the 23rd Psalm. There's a real important phrase to go along with this in the 23rd Psalm. It says, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So as you read both books, you have this promise. The Lord is not the deceiver. He does everything he can to make these things clear to us, that we be not deceived. And let me jump once more I'm going to read out of the seventh chapter of Moroni, and I'm going to start with the 26th verse and read down through 36. This is on page 766. And as assuredly as Christ liveth, he spake these things unto our fathers, saying, whatsoever thing ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good, in faith believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be done unto you. What a promise. What a promise. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased, because that Christ hath ascended into heaven, and hath sat down on the right hand of God, to claim of the Father his rights of mercy, which he hath upon the children of men? For he hath answered the ends of the law, and he claimeth all those that hath faith in him. And they that have faith in him will cleave unto every good thing. Wherefore, he advocateth the cause of the children of men, and he dwelleth eternally in the heavens. And because that he hath done this, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased? Behold, I say unto you, nay, neither hath angels ceased to minister unto the children of men. For behold, they are subject unto him, to minister according to the word of his command, showing themselves unto them with strong faith and a firm mind in every form of godliness. And the office of their ministry, that's talking about the angels, and the office of their ministry is to call men unto repentance, and to fulfill and to do the work of the covenants of the Father, which he hath made unto the children of men, to prepare the way among the children of men by declaring the word of Christ unto the chosen vessels of the Lord, that they may bear testimony of him. And by so doing, the Lord prepareth a way that the residue of men may have faith in Christ, that the Holy Ghost may have place in their hearts according to the power thereof. And after this manner bringeth to pass the Father the covenants, the promises, which he hath made unto the children of men. And Christ hath said, if you shall have faith in me, ye shall have power to do whatever thing is expedient in me. And he hath said, repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, and have faith in me, that ye may be saved. So many promises have been given. And I know I should stop and recognize that we live in a broken world. Broken families. Broken relationships. Loss of friends. Broken businesses. Broken politics. Broken kingdoms. It's just evident when we as a group of people lose our moral compass, we lose the sense of the value of life that we've been given, each breath that we take. When we lose these things, it's kind of the foundation of everything. And you see, in business, one of my favorite sayings to hate, I heard it the whole time I was working in big management for a global company. This isn't personal, it's just business. Anything that involves people is much more than just business. It's not just business. Don't ever make an excuse that you might misdeal with people, that you might treat them badly, that you might not have a a supreme respect for people, a love for them, a love for them. When I talk about business, I think sometimes we push that out, but no, that's what it is. It's love. And I've said this before, love pretty much looks like love. I was sitting right back in here this morning during the prayer service, and Sophia kept wandering over my way, and she took my pencil out of my hand, and she scribbled all over my notes here, you know. Well, you know, she writes in tongues. But what it says is love. Love, love, love. If you listen to the song, O Holy Night, it struck me, we were 2 days ago, we were at the symphony and we heard them sing O Holy Night. And it says, His law is love and His gospel is peace. There's got to be love in this world. We've got to be a source, a representative of God's love, not just in these four walls, not just at church, but in our families, in our friendships, in everything we do, in the way we drive, in the way we conduct our business, all of it. Sophia knew good enough to write it. Love has unspeakable power. This morning in our Sunday school, it's one of the things that Kathy Cloyd brought up, that, you know, when we pray for each other, when we gather even names in a prayer service, you know, to pray for them, she said, always remember, we must always pray for that special love, that charity. We must always do that too. Because it says that He bestows it upon all who are His true followers. We live in a broken world. I preached a sermon at a funeral. It's been many years ago now. My brother, Bob Hedrick, helped me preach that sermon, preach that funeral, and it was in Arkansas. It was a woman that I was really good friends with since I was in third grade. And believe it or not, she's actually the one that asked to be able to dial into our little family services in Cincinnati, which actually started the thought, which ended up being Phone Church. Her name was Nina, too. But I went to preach her funeral, and this was a terribly broken family. Many of them hadn't seen each other in years. They just couldn't even speak to each other. It was a horrible problem. What did I just say? It was a horrible problem. They hadn't been able to speak to each other in years. It was long lasting. It just went on and on and on. Was insurmountable. We don't like this word, but when you consider the severity of what it's creating, the word is more than just a lack of love. It is hatred that takes seed in us. It drives a wedge that we can't get past. And that literally, that hatred is growing. We can see it. We can see it in everything. Politics has become, it's unforgivable to have a difference in our ideas. It's unforgivable. It's hatred. We throw rocks. We shoot guns. It's hatred. And if in your family there are problems that are enduring, be kind. Recognize it for what it is. Because it's a seed planted by the devil, not to make it so one side wins and one side loses. He is the thief. He is the deceiver. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. There is evidence among us also. Let's pray and be healed. Let's be healed. And that's the thing I spoke to this family about, that the opportunity for a new day. Here you're together in this room for the first time in years. It's time to start healing. Work with all your might. Pray to God for help. And do everything you can to turn it so that it's replaced by that great love that we need to be praying with all the energy of our heart for. And so, I'm going to quote one of our great spiritual leaders of the day, Chris Pratt. I don't know if any of you know who he is. He's not what I would call the great spiritual leaders of the day, but he went up to accept an award and he said, "Remember, you have a soul. Take care of it." And I want to emphasize that. You have a soul. Take care of it. And I would start with the first words that the angel said when it came to the shepherds. What was it? Right on. It was fear not. Fear not. Don't let the world intimidate you. Don't feel like you can't do this. Yes, you can't. God can. When he came into this world, it was great. It was good. Good tidings of great joy because God can. He stands in the gap for us. So you start. Take care of your soul. Fear not. Start changing things for the better. And there's things we can't correct in this world. There's things that we by ourselves cannot correct in our relationships, in our families, all these things. We can't single-handedly fix it. But the start, the thing that actually makes us be able to stabilize our own boat, even though we can't fix everything else, is forgive. There's not a way around it. You can't roll back history to before things happened. You just can't do any of those things. You have to start from right now and forgive. Get past it. And you can't make everybody else change. You start with you, and you start with forgiveness. Repent. And do good things. Keep God's commandments. Become an ambassador for Christ. And my prayer is that that be on the scale. That the glory of the Lord will shine round about you. Let me turn to, I'm going to turn to Peter first and then to Matthew. I'm about done. In Peter, I have turned to 1 Peter, 3rd chapter. I'm going to read 8 through 12. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil. Remember in Romans it says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So verse 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And I'll finish with Matthew, the 11th chapter. I'm going to read 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that are that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to possibly be first to wish you all a Merry Christmas. And I pray that the glory of the Lord will shine in you. I love you. Thank you.